Good morning once again. We think about those songs that Nathan has been leading for us and that we've been singing together. Of course, as you notice, the title of this morning's lesson has that very thought to it, doesn't it? Abraham, a traveler by faith. And I guess I never really get tired of hearing about Abraham. I know that I don't know how many sermons I have heard on Abraham over my short 29 years. But it's always interesting to me. And we would think that going back to Genesis chapter 11, we find Abraham, and with him in mind, we really don't see any burning bush. We do not see generations of patriarchal training. We simply see a man having been taken from his homeland by his father and then left in Haran when his father died. And you find that in Genesis chapter 11 and verses 31 and 32 as we revisit Abraham's life. Where you find where Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur, the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. At that point, God called Abraham, and he continued the actual trek that Terah had started. And I believe that it's a shock to be called by the true God who's represented by no idol whatsoever. And yet you find Abraham listened to that, didn't he? And we say, talk about faith. And from that point on, Abraham became what we know as the father of the faithful. He is a great example of faith. Not that his faith was perfect, we'll visit that in just a moment, but his faith allowed him to travel to Canaan and to Egypt, back into Canaan, and eventually to paradise. We must not miss that implication that was used in the story of Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, we remember of Lazarus and the rich man, that Lazarus was where? In Abraham's bosom. And most of us, we all know of that, of the story of Abraham. And we know it from Genesis chapter 12 through 25. But in this lesson, of course, we're going to focus in on, of course, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let me stop there with verse 10. And we want to consider what type of person Abraham was. And going back and we think about what we read from Genesis chapter 11, Abraham was fundamentally the same as us. Really, he was. He was surrounded by a disharmony of error. One voice of truth called out to him and he followed. Well, remember that earlier in Genesis chapter 11, what was going on there? The Tower of Babel, right? There were some problems there, we understand. But I want us to consider that we are actually in the same situation today. Don't you think? Can we say that we are still surrounded by disharmony of error? Those things still exist, and yet there's one voice of truth that still calls out today. And so what we're going to do is we're going to examine these verses yet again and learn how to travel just as Abraham traveled by faith, just as in the songs that Nathan was leading for us. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. Here's the first thing Abraham traveled by faith. This is what the lesson's about. I would submit that Hebrews chapter 11 is not about Abraham. It's not about any of those characters that's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. It's about what they did. Wouldn't you agree? What they did by faith. According to Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There was something that was called assurance. We sing that song from time to time too, don't we? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Well, there's some faith that's mentioned there. And I would submit that this hope is not wishful thinking, but it's an earnest expectation. And rather, even that, it is not just earnest expectation that flows against the evidence. Rather, it is the earnest expectation based upon the Word of God. What's Romans 10 verse 17 tell us? You remember? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, so there's evidence there, right? Absolutely. Abraham had received God's Word. He believed it. He didn't have to see anything, right? Absolutely not. He merely had to hold on to what was being said. How many times do we think of that in our time today, that we have to hold on to what's being said? We remember Thomas, and sometimes we beat up on poor Thomas a little bit, who doubted. We might have been the same way, wouldn't we? Thomas didn't believe that Jesus was there. What did Thomas have to do? He had to feel his hands that were nail scarred. He had to feel the nail scars of his feet. He had to feel the actual wounds, didn't he? Remember, it says his hands, and then it talked about his side, didn't it? That was the places that he had to see and feel for himself. Well, Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen, and yet what? Believed. Think about that. All of us know this verse, right? 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. We walk by faith, not by sight. We've heard that verse over and over again. That was Abraham. He had not seen God. If you look at Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, it actually mentions that Abraham did not even know God's name. He had simply received God's word, and therefore he put one foot in front of the other, no matter what kind of ground was before him. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Abraham traveled by faith, and so must we. It's a wonderful illustration of this faith that Abraham had, and it's actually seen in a movie that, well, most of us, if not all of us, know about. It's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Remember that while Indiana was working his way through the secret passages to find the Holy Grail? You remember that? Jones is stepping by a gulf without any apparent means of crossing, wasn't he? He was right there. And he takes out some notes, you remember? And he examines the notes that his father had made, in which a man walked by faith and not by sight across a gaping rift. And believing his father's research, Jones lifts one foot in front of him. I know y'all probably have this in y'all's mind already. He closes his eyes and allows himself to fall forward. At the seeming last moment, his foot finds what? Solid ground. Then we, the audience, are allowed to see the camouflaged bridge that was there in that movie. And only after Jones crosses the bridge is he able to see with his eyes what he had done by faith. That was Abraham's journey. Repeatedly stepping out into the gap because God said so, and repeating by finding a foothold just as God had promised, over and over and over again, because he believed what God had said. He traveled by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 explains that without faith, we cannot be pleasing to God. That's the simple of it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You remember what it says about those that come to God? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's think about this. Until we are willing to hold God's hand, until we are closing our eyes and we're stepping out into what is many times the unknown, we are not fit to be God's servants. It's about what's before us, not what's behind us. How many of us, thinking about that last crusade of Indiana Jones, are we taking out the notes of the Father, of our Father, and saying we walk by faith and not by sight, and that we're putting one foot in front of the other? So think about that. He traveled by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Second thing, by faith, Abraham obeys. Now here's a lot of the discussion. I said, y'all hear this discussion about God vine many times, and there's a few of us here that has participated in that, and some of us have had to take a break from it from time to time. But these biblical discussions are very interesting, because this is where this lesson actually comes from, is this experience of discussion with other people regarding faith and obedience. Now, if we stop with point one, that he traveled by faith, that's it, as so many students of faith do from day to day, we will not really know what faith means, will we? We will speak only of mental assent. That's all we will think of. That's it. However, for Abraham, faith was not just a mental event. It was a very practical event. It is something that impacted his daily walk of life, because Hebrews 11 verse 8 does not merely say by faith. It says by faith Abraham obeyed. And that's what the key of the whole thing is. Abraham's faith saved him, not because he had faith, but because he had a faith that moved him to do exactly what God told him to do. Think about this. Let's take a journey real quick and recap Abraham here. God said, leave Haran and travel to Canaan. What did Abraham do? He did it. He obeyed. God said, let circumcision be a sign of our covenant. Abraham obeyed, didn't he? God said, let your firstborn son Ishmael and his mother Hagar be cast away from you. Through Isaac your seed shall come. What did Abraham do? Exactly what God told him to do. God said, sacrifice your son Isaac on an altar. Abraham obeyed. We see a pattern here, don't we? Romans 4 and verse 12 says that we must walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had. He's a great example, isn't he? But what does that mean? What was Paul telling us at Rome about Abraham, their father? Does it mean give a mental assent to what God has said? Not just a mental event that occurs and we think about him from time to time. When Sunday occurs, or when Wednesday occurs, or when something tragic occurs. But it means believe what God has said so much that we do what he says on a daily basis. Consider this. When God says he will give us all things if we seek first his kingdom and righteousness, do we believe it enough to do it? Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Another question. When God says to go to our brother and restore them, when we see them in sin, do we believe him enough to do it? With love, When God says we must not let the sun go down on our wrath because that opens the door for the devil, do we believe him enough to deal with it? I believe that these are great questions. And on these questions could go. But I want you to think about those, how those around Abraham must have thought of him as he abandoned what was the normal practice of things. You imagine all the idols that were around that you can see and you can touch versus a voice of God that no one had seen and touched. And yet Abraham believed. Here it is. He did not follow the cultural mandates, did he? What do you see in our society today? He did not live by the societal taboos. It was not Abraham. He did not allow the ridicule of others to sway him one way or the other. He believed what God said, and therefore he obeyed. You remember that very chapter. This is one that's been a lot in the discussions from time to time. And that's James chapter 2. Let's venture over there for a moment. James chapter 2. And notice there in verses 17 through verse 24. James 2 verses 17 through 24. If you want to open up discussion after discussion, this is something to use here. Because it goes everywheres. But verse 17 of James 2, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Look at there. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect or complete? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Go on verse 25 and 26 even. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I don't believe you can get any simpler than that. I really don't. If we are satisfied with a mere mental assent that does not impact our daily lives, we are no better off than the demons. That's what he says. That's not my words. That's what James chapter 2 is saying, isn't it? Can we say that the Bible today moves us to do something in the kingdom of God? We have enough faith to shudder and be afraid of God, but not enough to obey him. I know that this big thing that happened with all the billboards May 21st, 2011 got everybody in the uproar. There's websites about how these atheists have devoted their lives that when the rapture comes, that they're going to take care of your pets. What? $135 per house and $20 per extra pet. They even have PayPal accounts set up. And people were actually buying into this. Do you know what today is? May 22nd, 2011. I was telling people earlier this morning that there's another billboard that was just put up and it says, that was awkward. And then it has the verse, no man knows the day or the hour when the Son of Man shall come. But anyways, before I get off topic there, think about that. You know, we go through our lives until, God's going to come again. What happens? Ooh, I have faith. I believe in him. I hope he takes me. That's the kind of mental ascent that I'm talking about. That every once in a while we just have a mental event. Oh, this reminds me. A billboard says that God's coming. I got to get ready. Don't have any clue as to how to get ready. And then how many are just going to go back to their daily lives of just, okay, it's all right. Such will do us absolutely, positively no good. Only the faith that is strong enough to obey will justify us. And we have to follow Abraham's footsteps and increase our faith in God to the point that we will surrender our lives to His will, obeying Him when He says, take this step out into the unknown. I will keep you. How many of us trust into that like Abraham did? Let's move on. Third thing, Abraham followed God without knowing the way. How many of us would have done that? According to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, Abraham obeyed God by faith even though he had no idea where he was going. Do y'all know what that's like? Men all know this. We're traveling somewhere. We have an idea of where we're going, maybe. Abraham didn't know anything about Canaan. Not a clue. And further, he had no idea following God would lead him where? Into Egypt. He had no idea it would lead him to do battle with the five kings in order to rescue his nephew Lot. He had no idea when he would have children. He had no idea how many children he would have. Obviously, we noticed that. He had no idea where his meals would come from once he got to Canaan. He had no idea how his family would be cared for. You know, today, how many times do we plan things? You plan and plan and plan and plan. Sometimes it works out the way you plan it. Sometimes it don't. But imagine this. No idea. No clue. We have to keep in mind that this was truly not a bed of roses. Because he endured a famine while following God's directions, didn't he? He simply knew that God had called him to travel this way, and he went. And it's no wonder that Abraham's called the friend of God. Could I be called the friend of God today? Further, he went with a willingness to go anywhere God told him simply because God told him to do it. Where will serving God take us? That's a good question. Some, in order to follow God, have to leave certain things of this life. Some lose friends. Some are hated by family. Some struggle. All of us, at some time or another, go through famines in this life. We must not misunderstand the Christian's life is not one of misery, one after another, because there are plenty of good things, plenty of blessings that this life brings us. But however, following God is not a walk in the park, is it? Think about it. Sometimes following God means lying down in green pastures, drinking from still waters. Other times it means walking through the valley of the shadow of death and eating in the presence of our enemies, of Psalm 23. Remember our series and what we talked about that. Whichever path that we take, we must let God be our shepherd, allowing His rod and His staff to comfort, guide, and discipline us. Whether we're eating the overflow of blessings, whether we're fleeing a famine or suiting up for battle, we must follow God wherever He leads, and we must be willing right now to make that commitment. Think about how many of these descriptions are given in the Bible there. So many different things that they did. And we sing a song that wherever He leads, I will follow. That's the Christian's commitment, isn't it? That's exactly what that is. Think about those words. Do we mean that when we sing it? Wherever you lead, I will follow. What if He leads us through trouble? Will we follow? What if He leads us through turmoil? Will we follow? What if He leads us through self-sacrifice? Will we follow? are we willing to follow even though we don't know where God will lead us in this life? I would submit to you that Abraham was willing to do all of those things, every single one of them. Because as we see, Abraham did not waver when the promise was not fulfilled immediately. That's a problem in our time today, even. If something is not fulfilled right then, right now, when I want it, it's not worth it. According to Hebrews 11 and verse 9, Abraham went to the land God promised to give to him. However, he lived there as what? Exactly as we've been singing before the lesson. As a foreigner of all things. He didn't get there to live as if it was his homeland. Not only that, what did he live in? Tents. Nobody lives on their own property in tents. How many of y'all have a tent on y'all's property? Nobody raise your hand. Think about that. Travelers, sojourners, going from one place to another who are just passing through, live in tents. That's what we're talking about. When you own your own land and you have your own home, you build what? Your own house. Think about this. When you run your own nation, you build cities and fortresses, just like we find in the Old Testament and the kings and such that ruled. But that wasn't Abraham. Abraham spent his entire life in tents, sojourning from one place to another. Hebrews 11 verse 13 explains exactly what this means. Notice it, if you will. Matter of fact, this was the top of one of our songs just a minute ago. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Have we embraced that concept that we sang? Have we really confessed that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, that we are not to be laying up our treasures upon this earth? That's what it means. Abraham had been given the promise, but the promise was really for whom? His descendants. Wow. This land was his inheritance. However, he never really owned it. In fact, that didn't happen for hundreds of years until after the Egyptian captivity. Despite the fact that Abraham came to the promised land but never really received it, what did he do? He continued in faith. Though he remained in his tent, traveling from place to place, he still followed God's lead. Question. What about us? What about me? How well do we do with that? Thinking about these things. If things don't go exactly the way we want in our timing, do we think of abandoning God? When we endure hardship, undergo trials, do we think God has abandoned us and therefore think of abandoning Him? Has it crossed our minds? Because when we look to Abraham and all that he went through, he didn't. He didn't. Even though God was acting on his own timing and not in Abraham's, Abraham still followed God's lead by faith. And that's a great example. Notice verse 17 even of Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 17. Notice what it says there. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Though God had said his seed would come through Isaac, that was the promise that was given. God said, now, at this point, kill Isaac. Yet you find that Abraham did not waver. He believed he could obey God, sacrifice Isaac, and God would still bring about his promises through Isaac's seed. He believed that. Would we have? And we say, amazingly, what great faith. And what great obedience that was. Now, as I mentioned earlier, did Abraham have problems with his faith? Was he perfect in it? Nope. He had struggles, didn't he? In Genesis 17, verses 19 through 21, God had said Sarah would be the mother of Abraham's child of promise. However, in Genesis chapter 20, when Abraham traveled to the land of Amalek, Abraham lied about his relationship with Sarah. You remember that? According to verse 11, Abraham said it was because he feared for his life. Yep. We asked that question, what about God's promises? God's promises did not allow for Abraham to be killed yet. Here, I think, is a great comfort to us. Sometimes we struggle with our faith. However, one of our greatest heroes of faith faced the same struggle and came out in the end. Faith is a growth process. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, but the kindness, love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you neither barren nor unfruitful in the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must, however, not be turned aside just because God doesn't fulfill His promise in our timing and the way that we see it. As the song that we're going to sing at the end of the closing song this morning, at the end of service, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 tells us, God makes all things beautiful in His time. In His time. To conclude the lesson, Abraham traveled because he could envision the city that was coming. I don't think of a greater point that I could end on this morning than this one here. Abraham was able to follow God without knowing where he was going, and was able to live in his quote-unquote homeland in tents because he could envision by his faith what he could not see with his eyes. How many of us can do that? Abraham was able to see ahead and see a city with foundations whose builder and maker was God. He was able to see the city that was built by God. Consider even this, that Abraham lived in tents, but he was able to see by faith in God's promise the day when God built the cities with foundations for Abraham's descendants even. Did he know exactly what Jerusalem would look like? I seriously doubt it. Did he know exactly where it would be? Probably not. But he believed. He knew God's promise. While he dwelt in a tent, he could see God's city. Psalm 87 verse 1 says, His foundation is in the holy mountains. There is further meaning to Hebrews 11 verse 16. That Abraham was more interested in a heavenly city than an earthly one. If God's promise to have a homeland did not come in Abraham's lifetime, that was simply okay with him. He wasn't nearly so concerned about this life as he was the next anyway. And that's the whole key. It's hard to travel by faith if we are bogged down by what we see. That's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 tells us. Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. We must not be focused on things below, but on things above. That's exactly what we talked about in Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 21, that we must not put our value on things down here, but value the spiritual things of heaven. Only then can we actually walk by faith. We must see the city that God is preparing for us. Not just sing about it, but see it. Envision it in our spirits as the Scriptures reveal to us. In conclusion of the lesson, Abraham was able to envision the heavenly city of God. The question for us right now is, can we see it? Don't allow your physical eye to obscure your spiritual eye. Meditate on God's heavenly city. Look forward to it. Value it above all else. And thus walk by faith like Abraham. And it will come naturally. He has blazed the trail for us. Let us follow such footsteps and walk by faith. Paul even said, imitate me even as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Will we do just that? Because that right there is truly walking by faith and not by sight. There's a picture that we might remember from a story, an account of the Bible, where Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter wanted to walk out unto him. By faith he began walking upon that water to Jesus. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink into the depths of the sea. Have we taken our eyes off of Jesus? It says to even follow the footsteps of Jesus. Peter said that. Are we doing that this morning? Are you subject to the invitation call? If we're in the condition that Peter is right now in this very picture where he was sinking, will we allow Jesus to reach out, that we'll put our eyes back on him and fixate those eyes on him, that we might follow him closer than we were before? If we need this song of encouragement, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?